Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, Shane Reardon. It is Shane Reardon and Herb Lawrence on the other side of the glass. That's Nick Shepkowski. I'm Barry Rosner. This is the Lawrence Holmes Show. That's in reference to an evening of Caillou that Joe Ostrowski and I had so many months back, which I couldn't possibly explain in the 3 hours we have left on this show tonight.
Well, maybe you should try to.
Nor do I really know. That's probably the actual answer.
Fair enough.
Not sure how it happened. You know how these things happen.
Just get off on a tangent to another tangent to another tangent, and all of a sudden, yeah, we're telling Scott Service stories of why he's a jerk and because he was mean to me when I was 9 years old and why I'll always root against the Seattle Mariners for as long as he's employed.
It tends to just happen. This hour is brought to you by the Illinois Media School. No, to answer your question for those tweeting and texting, we have not ordered food yet. I am still hungry. And we're efforting that as we speak. We just seem to run out of time every break.
We're talking about the next segment, recapping whatever happened the previous segment, and eventually we'll get food. We have three hours left to pull it off.
And so Shane tends to bother us a lot.
That's very true. That's the day he walked in these hallways, I think he was bothering everybody.
So for those who missed it, the big news this afternoon, if you're just tuning in to 670 The Score, this is the Lawrence Holmes Show. That's Nick Shepkowski. I'm Barry Rosner. The big news of the day, Ken Rosenthal has reported that Aaron Judge is good. And Aaron Judge is right now, according to Ken Rosenthal, the leading candidate for MVP in the American League. So pretty big news. Shane and Herb, you guys were working on some OPS plus numbers. What did you come up with? The Aaron Judge, his OPS plus right now is
196, which means he's 96% better than average.
Well, Shane did some homework on this, and the MVPs in the last couple of years, Trout was a 171, Josh Donaldson, 127.
What a bum.
Trout in 2014 was a 168. Let's see what we have here. The next one I see is Dustin Pedroia in 2008 was a 123.
Wow. And Aaron Judge, just to repeat,
196.
Thank you, Shane and Herb.
96% better. Insane. It's absolutely insane. And so some texters were pointing out a couple of numbers here. The highest one that the texters at least found, and I don't remember which area code the texter was from, Frank Thomas in the season that was 1994 for him. Obviously, that season was shortened. A 212 OPS plus, which means he's 112% better than average. Like, absurd. You look at his slash line in 1994, just 113 games played, ends up hitting 38 home runs there, 101 runs batted in, even though those don't matter anymore, is what we're all told. Took 109 walks, all good for a batting average of .353, on base of .487, .729 slugging for an OPS of .1217. That's remarkably kind of close to what Aaron Judge is doing in his first full go in a big league uniform.
And yet it is surprising to Ken Rosenthal that Aaron Judge would be the leading candidate in the American League for MVP. A great text response to the Caillou music. And someone keeps asking for Gary Varsho stories.
Why? Is there a story there? Is there something that you've said on the air that I'm unfamiliar with?
No.
With Gary Varsho?
Gary Varsho, great guy.
Great guy? Never met him.
Great guy. I can't think of a bad thing to say about him. He didn't do anything bad. No. Should be managing a baseball team. He's really good at that. A texter from the 847 does not think it's funny. Does not think it's funny.
Well, it's not funny. We've treated it with all seriousness. That's the story of the day.
He does not think it's funny. He doesn't think this is funny, this Ken Rosenthal thing. It's not funny.
Well, it's too bad.
You have, if you're in the car, you have choices. You have choices. If you're at home, you have even more choices.
Gary Varsho,
if you're out for a run or on your bike or something like that, well, should be careful. You could get attacked by a red-winged blackbird or Lord knows what.
Yeah, those things are the worst. Gary Varsho, I remember having baseball cards of as a kid, and I always thought he was a funny-looking dude. Other than that, nothing else really to say on the career of one Gary Varsho.
Good baseball guy. Loved Jim Leland. Has a very close relationship with Lloyd McClendon. He was part of that. It's part of that Pittsburgh thing, which moved on to Detroit. Dave Clark, all those guys. Dave Clark, Gary Varsho, Curtis Wilkerson, Domingo Ramos. Those guys were all on the bench together with the Cubs. Lloyd McClendon.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a thing. Joe Girardi, all buddies with Joe Girardi. And I'm surprised Lloyd McClendon didn't have a better run as a big league manager.
Why? Maybe. He inherited a pile of garbage that Pirates were, and you know how it is.
Right, I know. It's
plenty of managers get that, and then they don't get another chance.
But, I mean, he's like as solid a baseball guy as you could possibly hope to be around.
Sure.
Like, I mean, Dave Clark, along those lines, but Dave Clark didn't have the personality. Lloyd McClendon did. He was, like, perfect for the job.
Right, but he had another run in Seattle, 10 years after he was fired by Pittsburgh? He got another chance.
Also bad.
Also bad in Seattle.
Also bad.
It's a franchise that's been waiting to turn that corner for the last 15 years or so now.
Maddox boy, good evening. You're on the Lawrence Holmes Show. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Hi, Nick. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Listen, you were throwing numbers out there earlier, and, you know, whenever I hear numbers get thrown out, I run to my computer and get to Baseball Reference. And a 194 OPS for 300 at-bats, 300 plate appearances, that's really good.
Okay? Yeah.
It's really,
thank you, Ken Rosenthal.
Well, that's what I need Ken Rosenthal to tell me, because I wouldn't have known otherwise. But Babe Ruth's lifetime OPS was 206.
Is that good?
OPS plus was 206.
I was going to say, a career OPS of 206 is remarkably low for Babe Ruth.
Yeah. But here's the best part. Between 1919 and 1931, he only was below 190 twice.
It's just stupid. Like, it's just insane to go back and look at some of those 20s and 30s numbers.
But then, look at this. Ted Williams' lifetime OPS plus is 190. Mm. And his lifetime is, on base percentage, is the highest of all time, 482. He only qualified for plate appearances 13 times in his career. He lost years to the war. Then he lost years to the Korean conflict. But so that's 5 years out. So he only qualified 13 times. And the 13 times that he could qualify, he won OPS 12 times. Out of the 13 where he could qualify. And in every year he didn't qualify, had he played the whole year based on his stats, he would have won.
Thank you, Maddox boy.
That's what we're here for.
No, seriously. I mean, like, you could lose yourself in Ted Williams' page on Baseball Reference. You could. And sometimes I think you should, because it is extraordinary how consistent and how great he was.
Well, and it's always the thing that's brought up first with Ted Williams, is that you look at the years of his career that he lost to military service. Like, he comes off of a year in 1942 at the age of 23, leads the league with 36 homers, batting average .356, .499 on base, .648 slugging, .1147 OPS, .216 OPS plus. And what happens? He has the next 3 years he misses due to World War II. Comes back in 1927, leads the league in runs, leads the league in walks, leads the league in on base, slugging, OPS, all the highest, OPS plus over 200 again, home runs 38. He was knocking on the door right there of being a Triple Crown winner after not playing baseball for 3 years.
Yeah.
Just insane.
You know, you could...
He missed time again for Korea, if I remember correctly, too.
Yeah, Maddox.
Played six games in 1952.
Yeah, Maddox Boyd just said.
Yeah, I know, but I was trying to see here of how many games it actually was.
Well...
six games he played in 1952.
All right, how about Bob Feller? This is why I love Baseball Reference.
Because
Bob Feller, in 39, 40, and 41... won 24, 27, and 25 games with ERAs of 2.85, 2.61, and 3.15. Started 35, 37, and 40 games and pitched 296, 320, and 343 innings. He loses the next 3 years to the WAR. In fact, I met Bob Feller on the South Side on opening day on the 70th anniversary of his opening day no-hitter. And it was great, actually. It was really an amazing experience talking to him. I wrote about it. I'm not sure exactly how it came up, but he was signing autographs for the kids from up at Great Lakes Naval Air. And when we got to talking about World War II, he said people always ask me if it was my duty to enlist.
Wasn't he the first and baseball player after Pearl Harbor that he went the next day? Isn't that the story of how that went?
Well, I don't know if he was the first, but the next day, when people talk about it, he said, people say, was it your duty to enlist? And he said, no, it was my right. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the difference. He absolutely believed that's where he should be, so he gave up the best years of his career to go do that. He said he had a team up at Great Lakes when they were near the end of his service, and he served on the Alabama on two oceans, by the way.
Laid in his bunk when I visited the USS Alabama in sixth grade.
Which is where in Mobile?
Mobile, Alabama, yep. Spring break.
Is that Mobile Bay? Is that a bay?
I believe so, yeah. But I remember they have a whole section there where his bunk was, and then picture of him in a baseball uniform and then in his naval uniform and everything, and I sat on his bunk.
Ken Rosenthal reporting, by the way, Ted Williams was pretty good. Thank you, Ken.
I have the exact quote here, that one pops up, by the way. The exact Ken Rosenthal quote.
Okay.
If the ballot was given out today, I'm quite certain he would win, says Ken Rosenthal on Aaron Judge's AL MVP chances.
I think you should have that in every update. I really do. So Bob Feller, after the WAR, so he comes back. He comes back and pitches at the end of 1945. He starts nine games. In 1946, by the way, he said his team, he played an exhibition game in 1945 up at Great Lakes, which was at the end of his service. And he said his team, they played an exhibition game against the Cubs. 45 Cubs.
Whipped their ass.
He said our team was better than their team. 1946, he comes back after 4 years away. It goes 26-15.
Pitches 41 games.
With 218.
48 appearances.
42 starts. God. 371 innings. With 348 strikeouts.
10 complete game shutouts, by the way.
Anyway.
Just shutouts. I mean, I don't need the complete game in there. That's insane. Just absolutely nuts. Also, I like the...
And the 81... This is from the 815. He says, keep doing the Ken Rosenthal bit because it's obviously aggravating that guy. I see that's... I'm all for that.
I guess
think everybody
just,
knows that's pretty much right up my alley.
It speaks to the time that he played in, but when he did return to Major League Baseball in 1945, he played in nine games. Care to guess how many innings he threw in nine games that year?
In which year?
In 1945, when he did return from his service at WAR.
After not having thrown at all.
Not having played an actual competitive Major League Baseball in 3 years.
Knowing Feller and that he was throwing, 350 innings a year, I'll say 69.
Very close. 72 innings, so he averaged 8 innings per start. Per game of each outing. Just go out, throw 8 innings like nothing ever happened. Haven't played competitively in the big leagues for 3 years. Just go out and show everyone how it's done.
Pretty amazing.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to go back and just kind of go down the wormhole that is baseball reference on a lot of these pages back in that era.
People want us to order food. In fact, they want us to do a Twitter poll or some kind of poll so people can pick.
All I know is that I keep getting more hungry.
See, and by the time we order, like Shane and Herb are going to want in on this, right? By the time we do it?
I'm already feeling it, yeah.
No, we're not getting pizza puffs, for those who are wondering. We're not going to do it. Shane, I think, he accomplished quite a bit. He has nothing left to prove. He certainly can't endure it again.
I've retired from being a jackass.
No, you haven't.
That's not what people say around here. The Chicago Baseball Game Day schedule is presented by Gillette On Demand, The Cubs aren't doing anything for several days. And the White Sox are not doing anything for several days, unless you include Wade Davis. Is Avi Garcia healthy enough to play in the game? Is he going to participate? Is he doing anything?
He was interviewed in front of his locker today, had the big grin on his face, all excited to be an all-star, but I do not know about his actual availability.
Good for him. That's you
did
know,
not
that's,
see that one coming.
That's a nice. That's now look. I was the Avi Garcia guy.
No,
I was.
Okay.
I was the guy who kept saying it's. He's this guy's good, and I finally gave up last year. And I might have been one of.
It's
the,
like with the Royals. You pick the Royals every year, and then the year you don't, they finally go to the playoffs and come within an
never
out
gave
or
up on
one
my,
run of the World
never
Series.
Never gave up on my Powder Blues. That's today's Chicago baseball schedule. Brought to you by GilletteOnDemand.com. 40 million Americans wake up to a Gillette shave. Gillette's working to bring you America's number one shave for less. Go to GilletteOnDemand.com and get every fourth order free. All right, we have a lot of things to do besides ordering food, which I think should be done during this break. I think Shane's in now, so that's good. That means we'll order more food. We have a lot of things to do. We're going to get to some All-Star Game memories. I was at a few All-Star Games, including 1983 when I was a beer vendor, and saw a lot of the game. You're probably going to want to know why I saw so much of the game. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Atlee Hammaker's impact on All-Star Games across all sports. We got to get to the baseball intelligentsia and baseball broadcasts. What has happened to baseball broadcasts around the game? It is really disturbing. I have 50 things I want to get to. Maybe we can explain to people how the whole Caillou thing happened. One guy said that he's in the car with his kids and they love the Caillou music. So, Shane, we have many different versions of Caillou. I mean, many different languages. There should be 20 or 30 different versions of the Caillou song. So maybe you could just play different ones all the time. And at some point we'll explain how that happened. Yeah, but what I have to do then is figure out how it happened. I have to remember why that happened. In any case, this is the Lawrence Holmes Show. That's Nick Shepkowski. I'm Barry Rosner on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in on the Lawrence Holmes Show on 670 The Score. That's Nick Shepkowski. I'm Barry Rosner. Home Run Derby is underway. We'll give you updates as appropriate. We could even broadcast it live, really. I mean, I have your permission, right, Shane? You said you gave me the go-ahead on that?
Yeah, I can pull the TV up on the board here.
Gave me the go-ahead on that, so that's fine. Miguel Sano with a good first round. He had 11. Mike Moustakas trying to overtake him at the moment. We'll keep you posted on that. In the meantime, the Chicago Baseball Game Day schedule is presented by Taco Bell. See, now I'm hungry. I'm hungry, and now we're talking. I love Taco Bell. The Cubs take on nobody, and the White Sox play nobody because it's the All-Star break, Shep. Nobody's playing, and that's your Chicago.
It's quite the update, but it is accurate.
That's your Chicago. I love Taco Bell. That is today's Chicago baseball schedule brought to you by Taco Bell. I go for some Taco Bell right now. When you've had a morning, let Taco Bell make it a little better with the new breakfast quesadilla, fluffy eggs, crispy bacon, and melty cheese pressed inside a warm grilled tortilla. That sounds fantastic. I'm hungry.
Sure. Yeah, that works for me. There were texters chiming in on our conversation, went over Ted Williams' numbers, Bob Feller's numbers, and somebody was asking for how did they do against each other. And this is shocking to me to see this. Because ESPN put together this piece, it looks like a few years ago now. The actual piece was written in May of 2012, but obviously the numbers have not changed of that part. But you look at it, and how would you assume, how would you guess if I gave you the option to guess how they fared against each other, which do you think would have held the upper hand? Feller or Ted Williams?
I would always go with a pitcher who can throw 100 miles an hour in that situation. Yeah, I'm going to go Feller there.
They aren't necessarily complete, it does say, but these numbers are every at-bat that Williams had against Feller from 48 to 56. Ted Williams against Bob Feller in that time, 389, 511, 833, 8 home runs, and 72 at-bats. The total numbers they have for the 124 times they faced each other, Ted Williams a 347 hitter, 467 on base, 677 slugging with 9 home runs off of Bob Feller. Yes, Ted Williams, the greatest hitter to ever walk the earth, that many people will tell you, owned Bob Feller's ass. Just insane. It's kind of like the Greg Maddux thing, though. Greg Maddux got lots of people out all the time. The guy he could never get out, Tony Gwynn, hit like 450 off of him.
Yeah. A lot of people had trouble with Tony
Well,
Gwynn.
Sure. Yeah, he if you're going to have a guy that you can't get out, that's not a bad one to have on
Ken
the list.
Ken, can we have the music, Shane? Can we have the breaking news alert? Do you have that handy? Because this is, here you go. There Ken Rosenthal reporting Tony Gwynn, pretty good hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should get that in your next update. Among other things we need to do after we order food, because... I don't know why. I don't know where you went. Where'd you go last break? You disappeared, and so we didn't even get to talk about what we were going to order.
What do you mean, what we're going to order? We decided during the last break what we were going to order. I got you the phone number and everything.
We did?
Yes.
No, you say
that. You literally wrote down the phone number and walked out. I thought you were ordering it last break.
No, you say that. What? Meeting's adjourned. It is? No, you say that.
So you're telling me that we're still a half hour from our food being ordered, which means it's then a half hour from there from being delivered. Which means I'm going to be at 8:30 before I even start to sniff food.
It's all a problem at this point.
What can we possibly do? We'll go to an update, and you can order the food during an update.
I'm sorry.
Heck, what a premise. What an idea.
I'm sorry to the 815 texter who's now gone through the drive-through because the talk of food...
Oh, boy. I don't even want to know what I was talking about in that case. Everything out of context is always better. I don't know if it gets better than that. Good Lord.
Welcome back in on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
That's one I probably said and immediately looked up and said, please don't pull that, which gave Shane or whoever was producing that given evening the exact idea of, yep, go pull that and play that at a very inopportune time. I'm sure I was just recapping Jimmy Butler's career as a Bull. I would assume. I would hope. Can't look at a Jimmy the same way, apparently.
I don't.
That's a horrible. It's a horrible allergy to have.
Was he doing that on purpose?
No, he wasn't. Wasn't at all. He walked.
Did he have
right
a speech impediment?
One. Yeah, it's. I just think he had a malfunction. Major malfunction. Did one Chris Ranji. Was known for that a time or two. You okay there, Barry?
The last thing was, that was special. That was special. Thank you for that, Shane. The main thing I want to get to before this hour is over, Shep, you think it's possible that we can...
We can get to anything. Get to it right now. What are you saving it for?
Well, we got to get to a break in a minute
okay.
here. But I do want to get to what's happening to baseball broadcasting.
Okay. That's a conversation I want to have with you.
It's startling. It's disturbing. It's unfortunately a trend that has taken over the entire game. We'll get to the Cubs tonight for sure. I know you want to talk about the Cubs, so we will get to the Cubs. And you're welcome to join us at 312-644-6767. We need to talk about this weird thing that's happening in baseball, though. We will do that coming up next on the Lawrence Holmes Show. It's Nick Shepkowski and Barry Rosner on 670 The Score. Welcome back in on the Lawrence Holmes Show. It's Nick Shepkowski, Barry Rosner with you until 10 o'clock. Saturday night, Shep, in the ninth inning, Kevin Smith went out to the mound to talk to David Robertson, and Steve Stone said he is telling him right now that he has seen Charlie Blackmon four times already tonight, and he is telling him what to expect and what he thinks he should throw right here. I did not know why the catcher was going out to the mound at that point. But the color guy told me what was happening, a guy who's been around baseball for a very long time who would know such a thing. And he gave me information that I needed at that moment or that I otherwise wouldn't have known. John Smoltz the other night was explaining in detail, or maybe this is as much as, Saturday, I think it was Saturday.
Saturday night he had Cubs and Pirates.
Yeah, he was explaining
the vast excursion here.
What Jake Arrieta's problems were with his control and why they were magnified because of his delivery, because of this accentuated delivery where he throws so far across his body and he has a tendency to fly open and can't stay closed because he's coming from so far over the right side of the mound. This is interesting to me as a baseball fan because I want to learn. There's so much about the game that I don't know. I'm thirsty for knowledge. Oral Hershiser, if you watch a lot of Dodgers games, is brilliant when it comes to dissecting pitchers, when it comes to discussing the situation in a game, and he, believe it or not, will criticize his own team or a player if something has been done.
Something that just...
And not in a mean way, but just says, look, this shouldn't be done this way. This is what you should do. This is why Yasiel Puig should do that. Or this is why Cody Bellinger should have been looking for this, not that. This interests me because guys who have done that and been so great at what they did can explain things to you that you otherwise wouldn't know.
It's nice when you get a guy like Oral Hershiser that, yes, he had his magical run and was at 88, but he had a hell of a baseball career there.
He had a great career. That run
in 88. Fantastic career. I mean, 88 was like the Arrieta run that we saw a couple of years ago. He ended up leading his team to a World Series. Arrieta fizzled out by the time the playoffs came around.
What he did,
but when you see a player that's good like that be able to translate into broadcaster mode and deliver that part of substance and give you the information and say, this is what's mechanically wrong with this pitcher. Okay, this hitter was sitting slider in a count that was, to expect slider. Whenever they dissect something like that, that part's great when you have a player that not only was, okay, you have a lot of guys that didn't have stellar careers anywhere near the level of Oral Hershiser that can deliver. But when you get the combination of, yeah, it was a hell of a player and a hell of a broadcaster, it makes it, I guess, that much better to me.
It's not happening a lot. It's just not happening a lot. What you seem to be getting now, almost across the board, and there are exceptions, I just named a few, but what you seem to be getting mostly across the board, and it's not just the color guys, it's the play-by-play guys as well, and it's on radio and it's on TV, is you get simply the words that have been written by somebody else or printed somewhere else or come from a statistical website. Now, I love sabermetrics. I think they're great. I don't think they're everything. I don't think it's all there is in baseball. I think there's so much more to it. And I'm not even talking about scouting versus numbers, but I'm talking about the game, the watching of the game, the playing of the game.
Separating a game, the actual game you're watching, and not having everything have to be the biggest of big pictures.
But that's generally what you get now is you get FanGraphs. You get, this is what I saw on FanGraphs today. These are the numbers that I found on this particular website. Well, anybody can look up a number. You at home can do that yourself. I can do that. You can do that. You can look up a number on a website. You can read FanGraphs. You can read Joe Sheehan. You can read whatever you want. Anybody can do that. Anybody can look it up. But this is what you get. Inning after inning after inning. It's just these numbers over and over. Any number that I could look up myself.
Well, it's the thing.
You played the game for all these years. Tell me something about what's happening on the field. I don't need a lecture. It's boring. We're getting this never-ending lecture about
how
you should play the game, about what should be done in the game, about how you should think about the game. Here is how you should think about the game, and this is the only way you should think about the game. There is no other way. It is a lecture about a game that is hardly black and white. It is the least black and white sport there is. It is so unbelievably hard to locate a pitch or hit a breaking ball out of the park. It is the least black and white game there is, and these broadcasters are trying to make it entirely about a black and white sport. And the lecture, the dull, never-ending lecture about this is how you must think about the game today. You must think about it this way. You cannot have an opinion about baseball. You must think about it precisely this way, or you are a blithering idiot. It is boring. It is a boring baseball broadcast, which I cannot stand anymore. It is exhausting to hear the same thing over and over and over again. Give me something about the game that I don't already know, and stop lecturing the listener. Stop lecturing the watcher, the viewer, about how you must see a game. It is not the only way to see a game. If that's how you want to see the game, I have no problem with that. None. If you could only see it through that prism, that is okay with me. You are free to do that anytime you want to, anytime you want.
And that's one of the things that has been...
But there's more to it than
that. Surely, surely there is. And that's one of the things that's driven me crazy, especially this year, because the StatCast information has been available on the ready at the second the play happens. And do I really need... And I know it's sponsored by whether it's Cubs games on GN or the Sox games on Comcast. Those are all sponsored, so they're going to throw the StatCast up there because they're getting the sponsor out there making it money.
StatCast is great, Shep.
I need to be told when a five-star catch is made that, oh, that was an incredible... I watched the damn play. I knew it was a special catch. I knew that there was... It probably made me jump off of my couch and make a screaming noise. I'm like, oh my God, what did I just see?
You also,
because
you also
don't normally see something performed that way.
You also
I don't
know when a guy dives for no reason, right? Guy dives for no reason and makes it
I've
look
harder
than it is.
I've seen Jim Edmonds play outfield plenty of times through growing up. I know exactly what you're talking about there. I don't necessarily need the numbers and the little sound effect to go along with it to tell me that's a fantastic play. And it's just beaten into your head all day if you watch any baseball game. Oh, that's a three-star catch. Yeah, it's an average-ass catch. There wasn't anything remarkable about it. It just so happened to a slow outfielder that we're all aware is slow tracked it down, and it looked a little bit more special than it probably was. Like, I don't need all that number right in front of me all the time. And that's the part that's driving me especially crazy, is the StatCast. Oh, my God, that's a five-star catch. Yeah, it's a five-star catch. The guy ran 100 yards to track the damn thing down and made a diving catch. Of course it's a great catch. I don't need numbers to tell me it was a great catch.
Exit velocity.
The ball was hit hard. Oh, my God, it hit 460 feet. Someone hit it hard. No, you don't say. Thank you.
It's the same lecture we get when people say, oh, my God, did you see that bat flip? How great was that bat flip? Hey, if you like bat flips... That's great. I got nothing against bat flips. I don't think a bat flip is exciting. You know what's exciting?
I only have a
is
problem.
The ball Jose Bautista hit 470 feet. That's exciting. And I don't really need the exit velocity on that. Because
I can tell when a ball's a rocket. I can tell when it's hit off the end of the bat and there's no velocity coming off of it. it's 3 miles an hour faster. Okay. You're going to go stand outside and watch cars go by on the highway? Oh, that one's going 74. That one's only going 71. That do anything for you?
Again,
no?
Don't misunderstand me. If exit velocity is what matters to you and that's exciting to you, then great. As a broadcaster, if that's exciting to you, that's great. If bat flips are exciting to you, that's great. If sabermetrics are exciting to you, that's great. It is not the only way to view a baseball game.
Where are you on, like, Sunday Night Baseball does it now, where they have win probability on the scoreboard the entire time? Just like watching the other night, and I think last week when I was watching, it was the 4th of July or the day before the 4th of July, the Nationals and Cardinals are playing, And the whole time up there, Bryce Harper hits a home run and it jumps up to be like 74% Nationals. It's like the Nationals are a good team. They have the best pitcher in the National League right now on the mound, and they have a lead. Yes, I know they have a better chance of winning this game than the Cardinals do. I don't need that on my screen the whole time. So, like this, I have no problem with the sabermetrics. I love learning about them. I love reading them while I'm not watching a game. I love looking on Fangraphs pages and seeing, okay, this is what X hitters doing differently and finding success this year, hitting the ball harder against this kind of pitch or in this location and going to opposite field more, whatever it may be. That part of it's great, but I don't need it all broadcast every day of it.
Yeah, the win probability is maybe the stupidest thing there is.
It makes me crazy. I hate it when it flashes in the corner.
If a team's up 10-1, you think you like their chances?
Well, and I also love that's where the game changed. Well, no crap, that's where the game. A guy hit a 3-run homer and the win probability changed? Do I really need that told to me? Do I need it told to me that in Game 7 of the World Series, the Cubs' win probability went down when Rajay Davis hit the home run? Oh, it's tied now. Well, no crap, the win probability went down.
Well, it's like the...
Oh, look, the roller coaster ride. Yes, I watched the game. It was a roller coaster ride. Thank you for confirming what we already know.
You know, it's like your chances of making the playoffs when you see those percentages. Like, no kidding. No kidding. Like you like the Houston Astros' chances of making the playoffs?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think they're going to be playing in October.
You like that? You like their chances?
I would take those chances.
Do you like the Dodgers' chances of making the playoffs?
Sure.
Do you like the national? I mean, you need to look at a number to tell you whether their chances are good. At the beginning of September, the year of the extraordinary comebacks with the Rays' incredible comeback, and who was the other one? The Cardinals, their incredible comeback. You need to go back and look at the beginning of September to see what those numbers were. They both had about a tenth of a 1% chance of making the playoffs. Well, okay. Well, we knew that already. How'd those win probabilities work out for you?
Right. I mean, it's there for a guide, I guess, but you can't... It doesn't mean anything's a guarantee.
Look, we don't have a problem, and I think I can speak for you because you just said it, Shep. I said it early in this segment, much to the chagrin of some texters who don't seem to understand it. That's okay. I understand listening is difficult for some people.
Well, yeah, 6-3-0 texters, what do you want me to talk about? You just said.
Yeah,
describe what's actually going on in the game. Don't tell me a guy's OPS in certain situations
the time. I love the numbers. I really do. I think they're fascinating. I think they can sometimes tell you something
that maybe you don't catch by watching.
But BIP, I think, might be one of the most valuable things that we've ever come across. I think it's phenomenal. I love WAR. And WAR is not perfect. Anybody tells you it is lying. WAR is not perfect. But WAR gives you an opportunity to compare not just players now, but generations.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It has made it more fun. Many of the numbers are great, but the numbers are not everything. Theo Epstein will tell you the numbers are not everything. Theo Epstein will tell you you're an idiot if you think scouting isn't more important than the numbers. If finding out about a guy by sitting in his living room and learning about who his friends are and his family is, then you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't understand the value of character and things like chemistry and confidence.
Right. Well, that's the part that drives me crazy. And it's the same people that will tell you that all managers don't matter, this, that, and the other thing. But in that case, okay, you have a guy that is going through a slump. Tell me what's different about his swing. Not just that, oh, he's 2 for his last 44. Okay, yeah, he's 2 for his last 44. Why? Is he chasing pitches out of the zone? Is it because he's seeing a certain breaking pitch differently this year versus last year? Break down in his swing and his approach why this is. Don't just give me the numbers of it.
And they can do it. They can all do it. Guys who have played the game at that level can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can tell you things that you do not know. So it's not that I have a problem with the numbers, but enough with the lecture. You can only today now think about the game this way. You
can't take a lot of the fun out of it.
It's not fun at all. It's dull. It's boring. It's incredibly boring. Steve Stone, in three seconds, told you something that you didn't know before, that no statistic could tell you. And it matters.
Mm-hmm.
It actually matters. It's just funny. The baseball intelligentsia seems to have a lot in common. You know, all steroids guys should be in the Hall of Fame. Only numbers matter. Bat flips are fantastic.
Can't dislike anything. You can't get pissed off about anything. You can't be angry about anything because then you're just an old guy.
There's no emotion in the game. Human beings don't play the game. There is no emotion. There's no such thing as chemistry. Guys can't lose confidence. Confidence doesn't have... I mean, if you've ever played a sport in your life and you think confidence doesn't matter in the sport of it, in any sport, well, you've... You probably never played a game in your life.
I mean, you're right. Any sport, but baseball.
You must have pitch clocks. You must limit mound visits. You should shorten games. You should limit the number of pitchers who can play in a game. I mean, they all recite the same thing over and over.
Another fun one is whenever, like on Memorial Day, when they had the bench clearing brawl in San Francisco, and you had all the takes of, well, Bryce Harper, what's he doing? Putting injury at risk. I just got thrown at in the ribs by a 95-mile-an-hour pitch. Yes, I'm ticked off. You want me to just walk calmly and, oh, it's okay that you threw inside and hit me. I don't want to risk injuring my finger, perhaps. Or you want, like, I gained respect for Bryce Harper when he puts the bat down, chases after the pitcher, and goes and takes on pretty much the entire San Francisco Giants team.
He's a human being.
I'm pissed off, and I'm acting pissed off.
And he reacted.
Mm-hmm.
312-644-6767 is the phone number if you'd like to join in this conversation. I want to get to some of the pace of play issues as well. We'll talk about the Cubs and the White Sox, Yoan Moncada, many other things. The Chicago Baseball Game Day schedule is presented by ADT. The Cubs are off and the White Sox are off because it's the All-Star break. That's today's Chicago Baseball schedule brought to you by ADT. Home isn't just a place. It's the feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT. Let you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. It's the Lawrence Holmes Show. Barry Rosner, Nick Szepkowski with you until 10, right here on 670 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.